Try to get this thing off here without wrecking everything. Guess that's one of the advantages of speaking. No mask. So if you will, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 11 for a very popular portion of Scripture, very familiar to most people. Matthew 11, and we'll start reading at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably most of us here tonight are already saved. We already have answered the invitation. We have taken upon the yoke of the Lord Jesus upon us. But if there's anyone here tonight that do not know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, if there's anyone here tonight and you're not sure about eternity, you're not sure about your sins being forgiven, you're not sure that you're saved, that business of being saved, very, very important business. And I'm sure that you've heard this before, but this business of being saved have nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with good works. It has nothing to do with turning a new leaf. It has nothing to do with what you can do or what you can't do. It all has to do with what has already been done. It all has to do with a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who can give you forgiveness of sins. He can give you rest. He can give you peace with God, peace within. And He is the only one. There's a saying that says, all roads lead to Rome. Well, when it comes to heaven, it is not all roads lead to heaven, even though a lot of people will say, well, as long as you do the best you can, as long as you're sincere, you'll make it. Not so when it comes to heaven. There's only one road. There's only one way. And it is the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, he said. So tonight, he gives out the invitation. Come unto me, or come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. He wants sinners to come to him. He invites sinners to come to him. And it's not just reserved for a little group of people. It's not reserved for just the religious people or people that are kind of favored in society. No. He says, come to me, all ye, all you who labor and are heavy laden. So the invitation is to all. No one is out of reach. No one is out of bounds. If you're not saved tonight, there is nothing, as far as God is concerned, that keeps you from getting saved even tonight. God will not force you. He will not make you. It has to come from you as a decision to make, to take that yoke upon you. So all you who labor, all you who are heavy laden, a life of sin is hard work. A life of sin is a heavy burden to carry. And the Lord Jesus, He wants to take that load away. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to take that burden off. And He wants you to take upon yourself His yoke. For those who don't know what a yoke is, maybe for young children who might not know what a yoke is, a yoke is a big piece of wood, a big piece of lumber that would yoke or attach two animals together so that they would walk together, so that they would pull together, so that they would work together. That big piece of wood was a heavy piece of wood, and it would keep the two, like maybe two cows or two bulls, pulling together. So the Lord Jesus uses the illustration of a yoke because really, sin is like a yoke. Maybe tonight, you don't have the yoke of the Lord Jesus. You've never trusted Him as your Savior. You've never made that step of embracing the Lord Jesus as your own. So if you don't have His yoke, that means you have other yokes. There's many different types of yokes that you could have, and everybody is not the same. The devil, he's got all kinds of different yokes to give people and to make sure you're good and heavy laden or burdened under that yoke. There's a yoke of alcohol. Many people, they don't realize when they take their first drink, maybe there's something in their genes. There's something in their background that make them more susceptible than other people to become an alcoholic. Once you're under that yoke, it's very, very difficult to get off. Very difficult to get rid of. It's like a bondage. It's like a chain on your neck. There's the yoke of drugs. A lot of young people, they start that thinking, oh, it's just one joint. But before you know it, they're hooked and they cannot get out of it. There's the yoke of sex and lusts, and how much in our day is becoming a real plague for all sorts of people, for all ranks of life, whether you're young or old, it becomes a yoke. The yoke of hypocrisy, the yoke of pride, the yoke of anger, the yoke of hate, the yoke of lies. There's many different types of things that you could be caught under and you cannot break free. The yoke of selfishness, of bitterness. That's a big one. The yoke of bitterness. You're bitter against somebody. You're bitter against some kind of situation you've been put in. You're bitter against your parents. You're bitter against your teachers. You're bitter against some of your ex-friends. Bitterness eats from within and does terrible damage to your soul. The yoke of dissatisfaction. Maybe you're never happy. There's always something wrong. There's always something out of place. There's always something better that should happen. You're never happy. You're wanting this and you're wanting that. And once you get it, it's like a bubble that bursts. And you start to chase another bubble. You're never satisfied. Dissatisfaction. The yoke of sinful thoughts. Very hard. Thoughts come in your mind and in your head, and it just defiles you. All these different things bogs you down. All these different things keeps you under bondage. Sin is the problem. And we know that we're all from the same root, and we all have the same problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So sin is nothing new. It's something that started way back in the Garden of Eden. And we are all under that bondage. We are all under those yokes that keep us enslaved. But the Lord Jesus is the one that can free you from that yoke, or this yoke, or that yoke, or those yokes. The Lord Jesus is the only one that can bring you forgiveness. He's the only one that can bring you freedom. He says that His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He is gentle. He is of lowly of heart. The gentleness of the Lord Jesus, once you've come in contact with Him, that's the thing that you're going to appreciate, the thing that you're going to like, and the thing that you're going to really, really love about the Lord Jesus is His gentleness and His love and His compassion and His care. Come unto me, or come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want rest tonight? Do you want peace with God? The Lord Jesus' invitation was not about rest in your body. The invitation of the Lord Jesus was about rest, a rest that is more than physical. He didn't say that you will find rest for your bodies. He said you will find rest for your souls. It is not a physical rest, it is a spiritual rest. Even for somebody that has taken upon the yoke of the Lord Jesus, for somebody that trusted Him and embraced Him as their Savior, it's not that all of a sudden all your troubles are over and that everything is going to just be smooth sail. No, no. That aspect of life will not change, but you will have rest for your soul. You will have peace within. You will know that you're at peace with God. The peace with God, which is so important. You cannot afford to live your life without that peace. You cannot afford to live your life without the Lord Jesus. You cannot afford to die without the Lord Jesus. It's one thing to live without Him. It's another thing to die without Him. If you die without Christ, there's only one place. A place called hell. And later, the lake of fire. So tonight, are you enslaved? We mentioned a few different sins, a few different things that you can be in bondage under. Maybe you've got your own things. Because really, I could have said, etc. Because there's many other things that it could be that keeps you enslaved, that keeps you from God and from Christ. But the Lord Jesus has a rest, and He has a gentle yoke. We either have the yoke of sin, or we have the yoke of the Lord Jesus. It's one or the other. You can't say, oh, well, I don't want the yoke of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to bother with that. I'm okay without a yoke. Well, if you don't want the Lord Jesus, you have a yoke. And you are burdened. And you are in bondage. Sin is a bondage. Sin is a slavery. And you need to be freed from that because you cannot die in your sin. You cannot afford to die in your sin. It's either to die in your sins or to die in Christ. And tonight, the Lord Jesus, He invites you to come to Him and Him alone. He's the only one that can give you that rest. You know, all those yokes, it's very hard work. They're very heavy burdens to bear. They eat at your soul, and they make you miserable. We can't say that if you trust in the Lord Jesus, if you believe in Him, that all your troubles will be over. But we can say for sure that you will enjoy the truth of having your sins forgiven. You will enjoy the fact that all is well for eternity. You will enjoy the fact that you have peace with God. You will enjoy the fact that if you are to die, you would go from here directly to the presence of God. Assurance of eternal life. That's what the Lord Jesus has to offer. That's what He has for anyone who will come to Him in their sins. So if you look at the fact that His yoke is easy and His burden is light, in contrast with the fact that the yokes of sin is heavy and it's hard work, the Lord Jesus says that His is easy and it's light. Easy as opposed to hard, light as opposed to heavy. And that's what sin has to offer, hard and heavy load. But how can the Lord Jesus offer that to people, to individuals? How can He do that? You know, sin is our problem. Sin is what needs to be fixed, needs to be dealt with. But how can the Lord Jesus offer the fact that He can take off that heavy burden off an individual? His burden is easy, His burden is light. And that is because He is the one that bore the heavy load of our sin. That is because He is the one that did all the heavy lifting. He is the one that labored. And He labored in a way that we cannot comprehend. The labor of His soul at Calvary. You know, when we think of Calvary, we think of the cross, we think of the crucifixion, we think of the nails. We think of the crown of thorns. We think of the Roman lash. We think of a rugged piece of wood that he was nailed to. We think of the insults. We think of the spitting on His face. We think of the plucking of His beard. We think of all these things that men, cruel men, did to Him. We want to say it reverently, but all these things really manifested the heart of man. It manifested the wickedness of man. That God Himself came down here, and that's what they did to Him. The wickedness of our hearts. But that was nothing in comparison to what happened in those dark hours. From the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness upon all the earth. The Lord Jesus was the man who had seen affliction by the rod of His wrath, the wrath of God. It says that He had led me into darkness rather than into light. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? I cry in the daytime and I'm not silent. And in the night season, and I'm not silent. The Lord Jesus, during those three dark hours, was bearing the load of our sin. He was bearing the load of your sin. He was bearing the load of my sin. During those three dark hours, the Lord Jesus was giving God satisfaction. God's righteousness would finally find satisfaction about sin. It was not just the nails, it was not just the crown of thorns, it was not just the cross and everything that came with it. God actually treated His Son as if He was guilty of all sin. God treated His Son as if He was guilty of adultery, as if He was guilty of theft, as if He was guilty of murder, as if He was guilty of the worst sin. He who knew no sin, God hath made Him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. That's what happened at Calvary. He became sin. He didn't become a sinner. The Lord Jesus could not become a sinner. He was treated as sin. He was treated as if He had done all those sins. And 1 John tells us that he was not just a propitiation for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. There's not a single sin that the Lord Jesus did not suffer for. So if somebody tries to tell you that the atonement of the Lord Jesus on the cross, the atonement that he obtained at the cross was just for the elect, just for the saved people, that is not what the Scriptures teach. His atonement was for all sin. The payment was made for all sin. The provision was made for all sinners. And when the Lord Jesus died, when he cried, "It is finished," the word in Greek is telestai, which means paid in full. In those days, if someone owned a debt to somebody and he paid the debt, they would put on the receipt telestai, paid in full. He finished a work that God had given him to do. He paid the debt in full. And that is why he can say, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's why the Lord Jesus can say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And then he adds, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason why he can give us that freedom, the reason why he can deliver us from our sin, deliver us from the bondage of sin, deliver us from the burden of sin, is because he took it all upon himself. And he finished the work. He paid it in full. So tonight, if you want the rest for your soul, if you want forgiveness of sins, if you want assurance of eternal life in heaven with him, all you have to do is to come to him the way you are. All you have to do is to repent for your sin. Repent, all it means, it's a big word maybe for some people, all it means is the change of mind. You're going that way, and you do a 180-degree turn, and now you want to go that way. You're going against God, you're going away from God, and now you want to go towards God. That's repentance. You change your mind about God, you change your mind about yourself, and then you trust. Simple trust. You put your faith. You believe. It all means the same thing. Trust, believe, put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Salvation is in a person. It is not in a group of people. It is not in a religion of some sort. It is not in good works. It is not in anything else, but in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ alone. I love that hymn we sang tonight. In Christ alone, my hope is found. The Lord Jesus is the one that can give you that rest because he paid the price. That's the only reason why. If it wouldn't have been of Calvary, there would be no salvation for anyone. And to close, I'd like to read a verse in John chapter 5. The Lord Jesus gives a warning. John chapter 5 and verse 39. The Lord Jesus gives a warning, and it's a warning for you tonight as well, if you're not saved. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Is it possible tonight that there's somebody here that you've been hearing the invitation of the Savior for many years? The Lord has been telling you to come for a long time, and you've never come. You're refusing to come. The Lord is warning you tonight. There's no other way. You will not come to me that you may have life. If you don't come to him, you can be sure you will never have life. You must come to him. Come to him tonight. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for the invitation of the Lord Jesus, the invitation of the gospel, to come to him. And we know, Lord, that everyone who will come to him, he will in no wise cast out. That is a promise. No one will be refused. No one will be shunned. The Lord Jesus will accept any sinner that will come to him in repentance. So we pray that if there's anyone here tonight that have never come to him, that have never taken his yoke upon their shoulders, we pray that they might come to him tonight. Lord, we thank you for the gospel and for the refreshment for those who are saved, for how it is refreshing to our souls, brings us back to the day when we came ourselves to him. And we know that him to know is life eternal. So we pray that you would remember the need of each one. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen.